I can't tell you how many times I asked Becky to sing that song. If she sang it every time that I asked her, she'd be singing it all the time. Because this is the great need of the church, is that he touches his people once again. Just want to say before I begin, thank you so much for the many times that we've been allowed to come over here and minister. It is my favorite place to go. And Pastor Matt, we are so glad you're here. And we are trusting God for a rich outpouring of his Spirit upon you and on the church. You're coming to a great group of people that's going to grow, and God's blessing is going to be on it and on you. And we're just trusting God for a mighty outpouring of his Spirit. I invite you all to come over to Faith right after the service today for a dinner together. And Pastor Andy started this, and we're going to move it into the youth building where we'll have more room, and we're just trusting you'll all come. My famous baked beans are going to be there, and so I don't know what all else. I know there's ham, and I don't know what meatloaf is going to be there. Just plan to come and join that time with us. Do we know Luke 3:16? It says, "I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will pour out your Spirit upon us, and that, Lord, we will sense the sweet presence of Christ in this place. We already sense your presence, Lord. You're here. We ask, Lord, that our hearts will be open to all you want to do for us, because this is your service, in Christ's name. Amen. My brother-in-law, every Saturday night, plus sometimes during the week, we have been best friends for many, many years. And I'll be preaching on tomorrow. And Saturday night yet. Normally, I find out first, and then sometime around 5 o'clock Sunday morning, he gets the message. And we don't suggest that for others. That's just the way the Lord seems to deal with us. But he, when he'll say, "What are you preaching on?" And so, Holy Spirit, he says, "I don't know why I even ask you, because that's always what you are preaching on." Well, may I say this, that is the greatest need of the church today, is the fullness of God's Holy Spirit. And my heart cry for every believer is that every believer know the fullness of the Spirit of God. That every believer comes to that place in their life where they are no longer doing it on their own. Can I tell you, if you sing and you don't sing with the Spirit, it's just music. But when the Spirit of God comes, as he did this morning, as Becky was singing that song, and all of a sudden she couldn't sing the words because the Spirit was moving her heart. That's when it touches the hearts of people, when the worship team begins to minister and the Spirit of God comes on that song and you hear his voice. As I was praying about the message for today, the Spirit of God spoke to me with this: what is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And Jeannie began to sing the song, "The Evidence." And I said, "Thank you, Lord. That is the confirmation." You see, the Spirit of God always confirms what he's doing, so that we're never doing it on our own. It's not something where each one of us are individuals. We are the body. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit, even though we don't check with each other, was going to be playing today and what the team was going to be singing. And so when that song, this new song, "The Evidence," came up, I said, "Lord, there's your confirmation. You are speaking to your people." And we need to understand that God is always trying to minister to the church. He's always trying to minister to the world. But he has to do it not through your talents and your gifts and my talents and my gifts, as poor as they might be, but through the anointing of his Spirit upon the talents that he's given us. If God
darkness.
And you are going to give Him the glory. If someone stands up and they have a beautiful voice and they sing with such dramatic power, but it doesn't move people, then it's just a song. But when it moves people towards God, it is the Spirit of God working. And that's what God wants to do. Our brother said today, I'm not much of a speaker. Well, let me tell you something. You'll be the greatest speaker this church ever heard as the anointing of God is upon you. Because it's the anointing. It's the power that speaks to the heart of people and moves the hearts of people. So I want to ask, what is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Father, will you speak this to our hearts today, I pray. Will you anoint us to understand that you have a message to us in Christ's name? Amen. Oh, this question has bugged people for years. And some people say, the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. The evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is you will glorify Jesus Christ. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, Jesus said, He will glorify me. So when the Spirit of God comes, He will glorify Jesus, and that's the evidence of His presence. Are there evidences that we can see? Of course there are. When the disciples were there, Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Now, what is the witness? We talk. You know, the witness is not just going out and telling somebody about Jesus. The witness is that when you go out, Jesus is there, and He witnesses through you. One of my favorite stories is the little boy that's walking down the street. And as he's walking, he's so much. And she looks over and sees his Sunday school teacher witnessing the presence of Jesus. And so you see, the witness is this, that when people see you, they will see Christ. They will recognize the Spirit of Jesus. They will see Jesus in you. All that's Paul said, this is the mystery that was hidden from the ages. This is the mystery that the it's the indwelling Spirit of Christ dwelling in you and flowing out from you. This trend, we're made out of dust. We're jars of clay. You know the wonderful thing about clay jars? They break. And when they break, what's inside comes out. Do you ever find yourself all of a sudden breaking? Maybe you're fixing something and it broke. And what was in you came out. What is it that's in us? What is it that comes out? We find ourselves saying, oh! And where did that anger come from? If it was there. What's there? But if out of it comes Jesus. I remember Linda Palmer. She was one of the greatest women I ever knew. She was a missionary mother. Her daughter Joy was a missionary in the Far East. And Joy and her mother were together all the time. And then God called Joy when she was 40-some to go, I believe it was to Taiwan, And Joy was going in, and Linda just sweetly sent her away. Sweetly sent her. And one day, as a young pastor, about, 25 years old, I was single, and I was with another, holding a revival meeting, and the pastor says, "I've got a lady I want you to meet. Her name is Linda Palmer." And so he took me over and introduced me to this 75-year-old lady who was just was the embodiment of Christ. And he said, "I'm sorry, I can't stay." I said, "I'm not. I'm glad you're going." And he left. And I literally sat at her feet by her rocking chair and let her minister Christ to me. The sweet presence of Jesus was just all over Linda. And whatever happened in Linda's life, whenever she was broken, whenever she was hurt, the only thing I ever saw come out of her was Jesus. I remember going into the hospital and seeing her in the hospital. And she said, "Oh, Jesus has seen something in my life that needs refined. So he's allowing me to go through this trial time." What was in her was always flowing out. And so I say to you today, what is in you? You can discover what's in you by Jesus, deal with it. Confess it. Repent of it. Ask Christ to forgive you. Until when it happens the next time, what comes boiling to the top is nothing more than the love of Jesus flowing out of you. You see, that's evidence of the fullness of God's Spirit. People say, "Well, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll speak in tongues." Many, many people do. That's a wonderful gift. It's a blessed gift. Don't ever malign it. You know, I remember in the Alliance we used to say, "Well, tongues," the finger down. And I said, "No, the tongues may be the least of all gifts, but it's still one out there that belongs to mankind." And so if God has given you that gift, use it for the glory of God. Use it according to the Scriptures. And let it be a blessing to you and to your church and to your fellowship. You say, "Well, the word says when Paul went in the book of Ephesians chapter 19, he went to the church of Ephesus, and he got there and there were just 12 people in the room, and he looked at them and he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "We haven't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit." And so he began and he says, "Well, what were you baptized to?" And they said, "Well, we were baptized to John's baptism." And he said, "Oh, well, John preached a baptism of repentance, saying you should believe on one who is to come, even Jesus." He taught them about Jesus. They believed. With tongues and to prophesy. And so prophecy is one of the blessings of the anointing of the Spirit of God. We need prophets in our church, people who are in touch with God, who can speak truth into our life. Have you ever had somebody come up to you and speak to you in a way that was really hitting you where you didn't want to be hit? I have. Yeah. I remember one day, I may have told you about this, but I was just a young pastor, and this older pastor's wife was talking to me, and she was chewing me out. She was really letting me have it. And I'm getting madder and madder and madder until all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, "So," changed everything. I started listening to this pastor's wife as she was prophesying into my life things that she saw that wasn't pleasing to God. I thank God for her to this day that she had the courage to speak to a young man and prophesy into his life. Be careful how you prophesy. You know, some people prophesy things over people that, "Oops, don't prophesy that. I don't want to hear that. Oh, things going wrong, and you're never going to make it. You're not, oh, don't prophesy those things over people." prophesy blessings over them. When the Spirit of God comes on you and begins to use you to touch other people's lives. There are other prophecies that the Word of God, you remember when Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit, it's a wonderful experience. The Spirit, the angel has come to Mary and has said to her that you're going to have a child and that child is going to be the Savior. And even now Elizabeth, your cousin, is with child. And so Mary goes and she travels up to the village where Elizabeth is. And Elizabeth is the wife of Zacharias. And when they get there, well, as soon as Mary walks into the room, the babe inside of Elizabeth leaps for joy. What is that? It's the presence of the Spirit of God. What was happening right there? The Bible says that John was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. That's the moment it happened to him. When Mary walked into the room pregnant with the Lord Jesus, Elizabeth pregnant with John the Baptist, the Spirit of God just witnessed to those two children, and Elizabeth felt the joy. And what did she begin? Somebody gets loud, don't worry about it. It may be God speaking something that he needs to get loud so that we hear him. You remember David? He's out in the field taking care of the sheep while all the big boys are in with daddy because the prophet Samuel has come. And the prophet is there to anoint the new king. And Eliab stands before Samuel. And Samuel says, "Ha, this is the Lord." And the Lord said, "Don't look at him. You're looking at the outside. I look at the inside." It's not long he's gone through all seven of the boys and none of them are the right one. And he said, "Are this all your children?" He said, "Well, the youngest one is out taking care of the sheep." He said, "Bring him in." And David is brought in. And the Spirit of the Lord said, "This is the one. Rise up and anoint him." And as the anointing oil comes down over David, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that moment on. What was the evidence of it? You remember what happened? A lot of bushes and the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Between and he walks down into that battlefield. The king has said, "Here, wear my armor." He said, "I haven't tried your armor." Remember, old Saul's head and shoulders above them. Can you imagine a suit of armor? He'd raise his arm and the arm's still there as far as he tries to pick up his foot. I can't wear this. He simply takes five stones because there's Goliath and four brothers that are just as big as he is. And before David's last battle, the last brother of Goliath is killed by one of David's mighty men. And the Bible says all five of them died at the hands of David and the hands of his mighty men. He had a stone for every one. It was a prophecy. When he picked up five stones, it was a prophetic message that was going out. The Spirit of the Lord was on David. All through the Word of God, we read these words, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon them." Look at it all through the Old Testament. Look at what happens through the New Testament. The Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Oh, can I tell you, there is nothing like that. I remember when I left NIAC and went to Circleville Bible College in Ohio. I left NIAC because I was just withering up and dying. Spiritually I was just dying. And I finally left and I went home. To go to Circleville Bible College. And when I got home, my dad was very upset with me because After all, Circleville was a two-bit little Bible school, and Nyack at least had degree operations, and Dad just said, tell him I refuse to let him go. He wasn't paying my way. Anyway, Mother said, you know where he'll answer the letter from, don't you? Well, I really wouldn't have. If he'd have said I couldn't, I would have waited until I was 21 to go. But God said, go to Circleville. And I went to Circleville. And my pastor was very unhappy with me because I had a lady pastor, and she was totally for Nyack. And when I started to come home for Thanksgiving vacation, the Lord said, he gave me a message for my church. And I said, Lord, she's not going to let me preach. I had preached there from the time I was 14 on in different times, but she's going to be upset with me. She's not going to let me preach. And I got home and I went to see her, and she was so gracious. The Lord said, I'll make a way. And she invited me to speak Sunday night. I will never forget that night. It was the first time that I was aware, totally aware of the Holy Spirit's presence. I stood up to preach, and it was like the Spirit of God took me and stood me over against the wall. And I'm standing there in my mind, and I'm watching my body as the message is going out. And I'm feeling such a powerful anointing. I'd never felt anything like it. And it was like I was witnessing it happening. And what was happening was the Spirit of the Lord came that night. And he anointed me in a way that I had never felt before. And God moved, and the altar was lined, and people came to meet God. And it was an experience that I said, Lord, I don't ever want to preach without the anointing. I want all this, Lord God, to have that anointing. I haven't had it where I've been out there watching it. But I can tell you this. I've made a promise to my people of faith. If I don't have a fresh word from God, I won't preach. You can depend on one thing. If I'm going to be here, I'm going to have a fresh word from God. It may be a message I've preached before. I've preached some messages many, many times. But if God isn't making it fresh bread, I'm not going to preach. You say, does that ever happen? Yeah. Twice in my life. First was in my home church. I prayed all afternoon for the message. Didn't get it. I was asked that morning to speak to the church that night. And I'm praying and praying, and nothing's happening. 5 o'clock that night, all of a sudden, the Lord gave me a message. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I said, thank you, Lord. He said, it's not for tonight. And I said, well, what's for tonight? And there was nothing. I led the song service. Testimony time. Came up time to preach. I said, folks, God hasn't given me a message. You're dismissed. Everybody sat there, didn't know what to do. Said, it never happened. Oh, it's happened other times where, I remember one time, I stood up and I knew the message wasn't right. And I said, Brother Larry, do you have the message tonight? He said, I could preach. He's one of my elders. I said, I didn't ask that. I said, do you have the message? He said, I could preach. I said, I think he's got the message. And I sat down, he stood up, opened his Bible, laid his notes all out. He was all ready to go. The Spirit of God was on him. If I'd have done it, it would have been nothing. He did it, and God's Spirit moved. You see, it's not the man. It's the Spirit of God. It's not who we are. It's who we know. If we know the Spirit of God, and he's there. One time at Faith Fellowship, came up time to preach. I didn't have the message. And the question was, are you going to try to do it on your own? Let me tell you a secret. I'm the most, I want to use the word lucky, but that's not the right word, guy in the world, because I know I can't preach. If God doesn't give it, I don't have it. And so I didn't have it, and I just said, folks, you're dismissed. And we went home. Nothing wrong about that. What is wrong is where we try to do things on our own without the anointing of God's Spirit. And if God gives the anointing, Brother Jim, Andy's dad, was praying all afternoon for his message, and it wasn't coming for the evening service. I'm in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. I'm away up from Florida. And I got into Lock Haven about 5 o'clock at night. His church is still, it's several, probably 60 miles still up the road. and maybe more. And all of a sudden I said, Lord, am I preaching tonight? The message was there. Wow, I better step on it. Jim's going through the service. The song service is starting. He still doesn't have a message. Testimonies came. He still doesn't have a message. I opened the door and walk in. He said, there's the message. He looked at me and went like this. And I went. And he introduced me to get up and preach. You see, what I'm saying is this. It's all about ministry. And when we understand that, when we understand that the evidence of the fullness of God's Spirit is His Spirit is upon us. And when you find in your life that you're asked to do something you don't know how to do, pray for His Spirit to anoint you. Pray for His Spirit to anoint you. You say, well, He won't do it for me. Of course He'll do it for you. It is the will of God that every believer be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, one of the things that I've learned, we talk a lot about initial evidence of the fullness of the Spirit. A lot of people get bogged down there. It's not the initial evidence that's really so important. What's really important is the ongoing evidence of the Spirit of God in your life. And people say, well, I don't know if I've ever been filled with the Spirit. Have you asked Him to do it? The Bible says this, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Ask Him. That's where I stumbled for years over this. From the time I was 8 until I was 18, I stumbled over that. I had to have an evidence, and I learned one day, evidence follows, it doesn't precede. Many people are waiting for an evidence before they'll believe, and you don't get the evidence until you believe. And when you believe, then He comes, and once He's come, He will evidence Himself that He is there. He just does that. You will realize it. You'll know it. You'll know that He's there. And when you get into a situation you don't know how to handle it, Lord, I need Your help. And allow Him to do it. You're a parent raising children or a grandparent with grandchildren. Can I tell you something? Every grandpa and grandma needs to be filled with the Spirit of God to help their grandchildren these days. You need to be able to have God tell you things. Does God tell you things? My kids used to wonder how I knew certain things. And I used to wonder how I did too. But I knew them. Because His Spirit reveals them. You see, the spirit of prophecy is there. So that we know things that we wouldn't otherwise know. I'm in a church up in New York holding a revival meeting. This young girl comes in and she wants to talk to the pastor and his wife, and they invite me to sit in with them. And she begins to put out this whole sob story about things that are going on in her life. And she's going on and on and on. And the Holy Spirit said to me, it's all a lie. And I listened a little bit. He said, it's all a lie. And I finally stopped her and I says, you're really not telling us the truth, are you? This really never happened to you, did it? And she dropped her head and she said, no, it never happened. You say, how did you know that? I don't know how I knew it. I just knew it. But she could not really be ministered to until she came to truth. And before she could be really helped, she had to come to truth. Her problem wasn't the problem she was saying she had. The problem was something much deeper than that, that God needed to deal with her on. You see, the truth is, the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is the ongoing evidence of His presence, which is what that song said today. The ongoing evidence of His presence. And when you can walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, do not walk after the flesh, but walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so it's learning day by day to cultivate that walk with the Spirit. One of my elders that is a continual blessing to me wakes up in the morning saying something like, good morning, blessed Holy Spirit. And then he just opens himself up for God to use him. But every now and then he'll say, Jesus, I just want to crawl up on your lap, lay my head on your breast, love you. And he begins to weep. And I weep with it because I can feel the presence of Jesus on his life flowing through him. So the evidence of the fullness of God's Spirit is the ongoing presence of the Holy Spirit. You may have spoken with tongues when you got saved. Praise God for that. But what about today? You may have prophesied when you got filled with the Spirit. But what about today? The evidence may have been there at that time, but what about today? You see, yesterday is gone. Today is here. Tomorrow is yet to come. It's today that we need to know that we are walking in the Spirit. It is today that we need to be saying, Lord, I need a fresh infilling of your Spirit. Let me close with this. Doesn't matter how many years ago you were filled with the Holy Spirit. It matters that today you are full. Because you see, we leak. The Spirit of God never comes into your life to fill you up and cap you off and keep you. You remember the story of the canned peaches that sat on the shelf, golden and beautiful. And oh, how the boy wanted to taste those peaches. But they were never any good to him as long as they stayed canned up. You have to open the bottle. And then they're gone, but with the Spirit of God, not that way. You see, we are like a hose connected to heaven. But we're meant to spray out wherever we go. And we only stay full as long as we stay connected. Are you connected to the fullness of God's Spirit? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Help us to understand that the fullness of your Spirit is an ongoing, everyday, lifetime experience. Yes, there was a moment. Yes, there was a crisis moment. Yes, there was a moment when I realized I could not do it on my own. And I cried out to you for your fullness, and you came. But Lord, help us to realize, help me to realize, Lord, that it's not what happened back there when I was 18. It's what's happening today when I'm 81. It's not what happened yesterday, but it's what happens today. The ministry of yesterday will not take me through the ministry of today. And today's ministry will not do for tomorrow. I must be being filled with your Spirit at all times. While our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, I just want to ask you the question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Do you know that his Spirit dwells in you today? Are you walking in the Spirit? You're here this morning and you say, I want a fresh infilling of God's Spirit. The altar's open. I'd love to pray with you. As Jeannie's playing, if you're here this morning and you feel, I really would like to come to the altar this morning. The altar's a place to meet God. It's not a place to get saved at only. It's a place to meet God. If you're here this morning and you'd like a fresh infilling of God's Spirit, you'd like to come to the altar, will you stand with me, please? And as we stand right now, if you feel a special need for special prayer, I invite you to come. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. If you feel like you'd like special prayer this morning, just step up here. Let us pray with you, believe with you. You got a whole new chapter in this church. a whole new chapter to be written. Let it be written by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you'd like to have a special prayer this morning, just slip up here to the front. It's not something I'm going to beg you to do, because it's something you need to do if you want God to do something special in your life. I'm going to ask Pastor Matt if he'll come up. We want to pray for these who've come. If you want to come and be a part of this, you're welcome to come. Amen, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. What do you want the Lord to do for you, Janine? Thank you, Jesus.
Your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms may wait for spring. In every season from where I'm standing,
I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life.
Die in order for the fullness of the Spirit of God.
I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life. All over my life.
The Lord says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I.
I'm weak.
Not my will, not my desire. It's your desire, your will. Jesus,
you may come, but fear will leave.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now you will.
You lead my heart to victory.
Lord, it will not be her will.
You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life. All over my life.
See
the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, Jesus. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life. All over my life. I see your evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life. All over my life. Why I always remember I'm weak. Tears and
to my heart
to victory.
You are my strength, and you always will be.
I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life. All over my life. Why should I fear? The evidence is here. Why should I fear? Oh, the evidence is here.
Pray that as we move forward in the changes to come, Lord, despite COVID, Lord, I pray that we continue to be a beacon of hope to Butler. Lord, I pray that your anointing be on me as I speak, Lord, and that it wouldn't be Matt, it'd be you, Lord, that speaks through me.
That's right.
God, I pray that you prepare a place for people here, Lord, that there are, even though these pews might seem empty, Lord, there's people that are going to fill this place. And I believe that, Lord. I know everyone here believes that, Father, and I pray that all the other Wise churches work together, Lord, that this is your mission. And it starts right here, Father, and I pray that we be a praying people, that we be a loving people. We love you first, and then we go out and shine your light to this community, Father. So I pray. Amen.
Amen. Remember, you're all invited to come over to Faith and have a good dinner.